Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Learning to Sit Still podcast. If this is your first time listening, welcome. I am so glad you could be here. My name is Sarah, and my desire is to help you learn to sit still in a noisy world because it is in those still moments that we have the chance to know God. Silence is something we tend to run from because it is a place of confrontation where we can hear our thoughts and see ourselves for who we truly are. This is why we try to drown out the silence with noise, any kind of noise, from music to crowds to a packed schedule. We avoid the silence, but that is exactly where God wants to meet us. This is the reason behind this podcast, as well as my website, sitstillmydaughter.com. I want to encourage you to step away from the noise and the distractions and enter into His presence. The one who formed you with purpose. I promise that the more you get to know Him, really know Him, the more you will return His love and walk in confidence of who He made you to be, His image bearer to the world. So I invite you to join me on this journey of learning to sit still. If you have a question or a prayer request, you can submit them via my website. I would love to pray for you and help in any way I can. There are also free Bible reading plans available to download, and be sure to check out my social media accounts where I share short devotionals to encourage you in your walk with the Lord. Also, if you haven't already, will you tap that subscribe button so you never miss an episode? You can also leave a review, which helps others find this podcast. Now, are you ready for the answer to the Bible trivia question I asked you last time? Who said, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen? The answer is Elijah, and found in 2 Kings 2, verse 12. Our question for next week is, Moses commanded the children of Israel to gather myrrh, cinnamon, calamus, and cassia to make what type of oil? Moses commanded the children of Israel to gather myrrh, cinnamon, calamus, and cassia to make what type of oil? And remember, I will have the answer for you on the next episode. I want to say a special thank you to the many people who came to the first ever Sit Still My Daughter conference. It was a wonderful time with each speaker sharing truth that we all needed to hear, myself included. I am excited to share that we were able to record the sessions and will be making it available soon in both a digital format and hopefully a DVD, so stay tuned for the announcement. Again, I do want to thank everyone who came. You were a blessing to me, and I am already looking forward to next year. Now, recently, my pastor has been going through the names of God, and one in particular caused me to think back to an episode that I did on the life of Hagar called Unloved and Unwanted. Today, I wanted to revisit her story, but expand more on the idea behind the name. Let's read Genesis 16, verse 13. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou God seeth me. For she said, Have I also here looked after him that seeth me? For those who may not be familiar with this passage, Hagar has just fled from her mistress Sarah after receiving harsh treatment and words. Now in the wilderness, and with child, she finds herself alone, or at least that is what she thinks. An angel appears and asks what happened. When Hagar tells him what took place, he told her to return to Sarah, but not without a promise that she would have a child, a son, and he would be called Ishmael, a name that means God will hear. In this story, God reveals in a child's name that He is a God who hears, and through the name given to Him by the woman, the only time we ever see this take place in Scripture, He is also a God who sees. Today, I wanted to explore what it means for God to see, and what does He see? Of course, He sees everything, but I want to get specific, so let's start with our sin. We cannot hide from God, even though we fall into the same trap as Jonah, who believed that he could run from God's presence and completely disappear. Adam and Eve thought they could hide from God after they sinned, even trying to put together some makeshift clothing, thinking it might help their cause, but nothing could. Our God is one who sees all. Every flaw and fault we possess is clearly visible to Him, but there is something amazing about this too, and that is the fact that in spite of what He sees, He still loves us. When Adam and Eve fled from His presence, He loved them enough to pursue them, even though the meeting would bring much hurt and pain for both the Creator as well as the creation. It also was an opportunity for God to provide them with hope that one day sin's deadly consequences would be overturned. This is how great God's love for us is, that even though we had rebelled against him through an act of disobedience, he was still willing to send his son to pay the price necessary for our redemption. He is the God who sees our sin, but he also sees our need, and he provided us with a means to be restored so that those who call upon his name shall be saved and are forever covered by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, which washes us white as snow. That is the God who sees us. He's also a God who sees our fears. He knows when we're afraid, when our knees buckle under the weight of responsibility or necessity. He sees and often sends comfort, as he did with Joshua, the newly made leader of Israel. Those were big shoes to fill for Moses, a man who had done so many incredible things, and now the mantle had been handed down to Joshua along with the responsibility of leading Israel into the Promised Land, which meant years of fighting ahead. In that moment, he told Joshua in chapter 1, verse 9, "Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." This is a beautiful verse because God is not angry at Joshua's fears, but reminds him of why he has no reason to be afraid. He can be strong and have courage because God was with him no matter where he would go. There is no place that our God will not walk with us. Even the darkest valley or terrifying circumstances, he has promised to be right there, and he is greater than any fear that tries to present itself to us. God saw Joshua's fears and immediately addressed them. I love that about our God. He gently reminds us again of who he is, and who he is makes all the difference in this life. Remember, when you are afraid, God sees it and wants you to remember that he still loves you and he is still in control, so there is no need to be afraid. Perhaps you can write down these verses the next time you are facing a situation that causes fear to rise within you. Psalm 27:1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Psalm 34:4, "I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears." Psalm 56:3, "What time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee." And these are just a few of the verses God has provided for us to read and reread and memorize in moments when we are afraid, so that we never doubt that he sees our fears and is ready to take them away when we put our trust in him. And our God also is a God who sees our hurts. To live means we will experience hurt. People can often be unkind. They say things that hurt us deeply. They do something that is hurtful, and they can influence others to behave in a hurtful manner toward us as well, which sometimes can be even among the deepest of hurts of all. Our God bears witness to it all. There is not one that escapes his eye. Now, I don't know about you, but that brings me comfort. Our God is not distant or disconnected from our hurts and the wounds that come from them. It's quite the opposite, as he desires to heal what has been broken. Remember what it says in Isaiah 61, verse 1? "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." That is our God, the one who wants to bind up the brokenhearted. The word "bind" carries the idea of binding wounds, both physical and spiritual, with the result that healing occurs. I find it interesting that it is not limited to one or the other, but both physical and spiritual, because both can occur and both can have a deep impact on us. When someone is hurt physically, they need to be cared for, and it is something that everyone can readily see, but a spiritual hurt can be much more difficult to not only detect, but tend, as the signs are usually invisible. We are usually afraid to open up to people, to be transparent about our struggles, choosing instead to put on a mask and pretend that everything is fine. But we cannot wear a mask with God. He is the God who sees all, including the hurts we try to keep buried deep inside of us. He also knows the importance of healing, because a wounded person will struggle to reach their full potential in Christ. Satan capitalizes on our hurts and looks for ways to rub salt into them, to keep them fresh and open. Staying hurt can also cause more harm, as it leads to more issues down the road when left untreated. Something else our God is aware of, which is why he longs to heal both our body and soul. When Naomi returned to Bethlehem, she was not in a good place spiritually. She could not see God for who he truly was, but he saw her and went to great lengths to show her that she was seen Remember what the ladies of the village said to her in Ruth chapter 4, verse 14. And the women said unto Naomi, Blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. They wanted Naomi to see that God was so good to her. He saw her hurts, but he had also provided her with blessings that would help heal the hurts and restore her in her old age. That is our God. He is the God who sees your hurts and will heal them if you let him in. Please go to him, my friend, and find the healing you so desperately need. There is something else our God sees, and that is our tears. In Psalm 56, verse 8, we read, Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? You can't collect what you don't see, which means there is no tear that ever falls that our God does not see. There is something so precious about knowing that every tear that has fallen down my cheek has not only been seen by my God, but also collected in a bottle with my name on it to keep track of when someone cries means you care about them. No other religion has a God like ours who is touched by the grief and wounds of his creation so much that he collects their tears in a bottle. When you cry in the dark, trying to muffle the sounds in your pillow, God sees that. When you cry over the loss of a loved one and your heart is breaking, he sees that. There is something comforting in knowing that there is someone who cares about our tears and the reason why they spilled over in the first place. I hope we never forget the fact that our God loves us so much and he longs to comfort. After all, he is the God of all comfort, as Paul told us in 2 Corinthians 1 verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Know that you are seen by this God, even when no one else sees your tears. Perhaps this is one of the reasons that compelled Hagar to give God such a name, because it represented how she felt at that moment. When no one cared about her or her baby, there was one who did, the one who had made her, and he is still the same today. And there is one more thing I want to point out about what our God sees, and that is our heart. As Samuel was looking over the seven sons of Jesse, he thought they were a pretty good-looking bunch, but God wasn't interested in looks, but what was on the inside, because he sees the heart, which is our most inner being, and it's the place of our true self. We may try to fool everyone around us, but God knows everything about us. He knows if we truly love him in word and in deed, if our heart is loyal to him or to self, and it is this heart that he will judge one day. I pray that we will seek to have a heart that is like the shepherd boy David, the one who God said was a man after his own heart. I want to possess such a heart, but that will require diligence, dedication, and discipline on my part, that I spend time in the quiet place so that I can learn more about my God and what is required of me, of how I can become more like him, and what things please him, the one who sees me. Do you know something interesting? What God sees impacts his response to us, just as we witness in the lives of many individuals today. He saw Hagar and responded to her need. He saw that Joshua was afraid and spoke to his heart, and he sees us today. He knows exactly what our heart needs to hear, and we can trust in his capable hands, but this trust is built in the quiet place as we continue to learn more and more about our amazing God. Let's be women who linger in the quiet place with the one who sees us. Have a wonderful day, my friends.